This is our last session together. This for this retreat. And we're clearly not going to be able to finish the text. So next weekend I'm doing a retreat outside of Jakarta, and I had the idea maybe to give a brief review of what we've covered so far in the text and then finish the text there.
Akhir pekan depan itu ada rapat di Jakarta. Beliau punya gagasan mungkin akan merangkum sedikit di sana, lalu melanjutkan sisanya di sana.
And hopefully they'll be videoing it. And then at the end, you'll have a set of teachings on a text from beginning to end on video that I thought people could then use and study with, you know, in different centers around the country. And I thought, because I'm sure you're all very eager to hear how the story turns out at the end of the text.
Semuanya pasti penasaran. Kisahnya nanti apa? Akhirnya gimana? Akhir kisahnya bagaimana?
Okay, so that way you'll be able to.
Kalau dijawab nanti bisa.
Because we were going to do the retreat next weekend on a new book that just came out from His Holiness called Buddhism, One Teacher, Many Traditions. And Karaniya is translating it, but it isn't ready yet. So I thought, you know, since it isn't ready yet, let's finish this text.
In the Prater di Jakarta itu, dasarkan buku baru yang beliau tulis dengan karya lama. Buat teacher ini, satu guru dari tradisi, tapi kemungkinan bukunya belum selesai dicetak. Sebaiknya melanjutkan teks ini saja, karena bukunya sudah bisa dia.
Okay, so somebody asked a few questions. Let's just start with those, and then we'll go into the text. Okay.
Pertanyaan di situ, kemudian kalau kita lanjutkan dengan teks.
Okay, so somebody said, do we really exist? Why are we here if we don't exist? Good question.
Ya, jika kita tidak eksis, lalu mengapa kita ada di sini? Ya? Jika kita tidak eksis.
So, yes, we exist.
Tentu saja, ya, kita itu ada, kita eksis.
But we don't exist in the way we think we exist.
Tapi kita tidak eksis seperti cara atau anggapan kita eksis.
So, we think that we are independent, inherently existent people who can control things, but in fact we aren't.
Kita menganggap kita itu eksis secara independen, kita bisa mengontrol sesuatu, tapi sesungguhnya itu tidak.
In fact, we exist dependently, not independently, because we depend on causes and conditions, on parts, on being the mind that conceives and labels us.
Ya, kita sesungguhnya tidak mandiri. Kita terdiri dari berbagai bagian. Kita juga terdiri dari pikiran yang memberikan label, memberikan nama.
So when we say that, when, for example, Nagarjuna says things don't exist, he means they don't exist inherently or independently. They're empty of that type of existence.
Jadi dimaksud dengan tidak eksis, kita itu tidak eksis secara mandiri, karena kita bergantung, kita tidak eksis dari sananya, dan kita itu sunya, kosong dari eksistensi yang mandiri.
But they do exist dependently.
Tapi kita eksis, ya, tapi secara bergantungan.
Okay, because there are people sitting here, and we are doing something.
Karena kita ada di sini dan kita melakukan sesuatu.
But we project a lot of false ways of existing onto ourselves and onto the world, and in fact we're empty of all those false ways of existing that we project.
Dan kita memproyeksikan banyak hal ya dari pikiran kita, dan bahkan sesungguhnya kita itu sebenarnya kosong dari hal-hal atau pemikiran yang kita proyeksikan, yang kita pikirkan di dalam cita kita.
And so the second question, I read that there's 9 factors for death, is that it? And one of them is eating too much and not at the right time. So what are the others?
Jadi salah satu 9 faktor, ada 9 faktor kematian. Salah satunya adalah makan terlalu banyak dan tidak pada waktu yang tepat. Sisanya apa lagi?
I have some vague memory of that list, but I can't remember it.
Saya punya satu ingatan yang sama-sama, tapi saya tidak bisa mengingatnya dengan lengkap.
But I can tell you on a practical 21st century level. Yeah.
Jadi saya bisa sampaikan ya, secara di abad 21 ini apa yang menyebabkan kematian.
If you drink and drive, that's an easy way to cause death.
Jika anda nyetir sambil mabok, itu cara mudah untuk meninggal.
If you eat too much junk food, yeah, that's not good for you.
Jika anda terlalu banyak makan junk food, ya, itu tidak bagus untuk makanan yang tidak sehat.
If you don't get exercise, not good for you.
Kalau anda tidak menggerakkan badan atau berolahraga, itu tidak bagus untuk anda.
Okay. So it's important we take care of our body because it's the basis for our precious human life.
Penting sekali kita merawat tubuh kita karena ini adalah landasan dari kehidupan yang bermulia dan berharga.
But we should do this without indulging our body in sensual pleasures.
Kita bisa melakukannya tanpa melibatkan diri kita terlalu ke dalam kenikmatan dunia fisikal.
Like, I think I'll sleep until noon.
Mungkin saya mau bobok siang. Bobok sampai siang.
I bet you want me to go on to the next question now.
Kita lanjut ke pertanyaan berikutnya ya.
Okay. And then the next question is, is nirvana a state of mind, or the other word? But basically, what is nirvana?
Apakah nirvana itu kondisi pikiran? Selanjutnya atau jelas? Tapi intinya pertanyaan mengenai nirvana.
So nirvana basically is the cessation of ignorance, anger, and attachment, and rebirth in samsara that is caused by.
Ya, jadi nirwana itu padam lenyapnya kilesa, ya, kemarahan, ketidaktahuan, kebingungan.
Actually, it's not just ignorance, anger, and attachment. It's all afflictions.
Sesungguhnya bukan cuma kemarahan, kebingungan, tapi juga semua, ya, semua hal-hal yang menciptakan kondisi mental dan kelahiran berulang.
So, in short, nirvana is the absence of the first two of the four truths or aryas, true dukkha and true origin.
Ya, jadi nirwana itu adalah esensi yang dari dua bagian dari empat kenyataan arya, yaitu akhir dukkha dan jalan menuju nirwana.
So it's a state of peace.
Kedamaian, kondisi damai.
Yeah, it's also called the deathless because we're no longer born in samsara, so we no longer have to get old and sick and die in samsara.
Ini juga disebut tanpa kematian karena kita tidak lagi lahir, jadi tidak perlu mengalami tua, sakit, dan kematian seperti yang dialami di samsara.
Yeah, and it's a state free from all the danger and fears of cyclic existence.
Juga keadaan bebas dari rasa takut akan kelahiran berulang.
That's general nirvana.
Itu nirvana secara umum.
Okay. when we talk about the Buddha, we say he has non-abiding nirvana.
Kita bicara Buddha, kita bicara Buddha yang tidak berdiam di nirvana.
So what that means, because remember yesterday we talked about the difference between an arhat and a Buddha?
Masih ingat kemarin kita bahas perbedaan antara arhat dan Buddha.
Okay. So when we say the Buddha has non-abiding nirvana, that means the Buddha doesn't abide in two extremes.
Kalau kita bicara Buddha tidak berdiam di nirvana, artinya Buddha tidak ada, tidak berdiam di dua kutub ekstrem.
One extreme is the extreme of samsara, cyclic existence. So just like the arhats, the Buddha has abandoned all of cyclic existence and rebirth there.
Jadi salah satu sisinya adalah Buddha tidak pernah ada di alam samsara seperti para arhat yang sudah tidak lagi punya karma negatif, tidak lagi ada di kehidupan berulang.
The other extreme that the Buddha is free from is personal peace, in other words, an arhat's nirvana.
You know, di sisi yang lain Buddha juga bebas dari kedamaian yang terlalu mendalam dalam hal ini seperti para arhat.
Because remember yesterday we were saying that when an arhat attains nirvana after they leave this body, they stay in a state of meditative equipoise and emptiness for a long time, and they still have the cognitive. Well, let's start with that.
Ya, jadi kalau kita lihat kalau arahat itu sudah mencapai nirwana, mereka akan berdiam di sana dalam kondisi yang sangat-sangat lama, kedamaian yang sangat lama.
And they still have the cognitive obscurations, very subtle obscurations, that prevent them from being omniscient, like a Buddha is, and thus prevent them from being of the greatest benefit to sentient beings.
Ya, tapi mereka masih punya satu halangan kognitif yang sangat halus yang mencegah mereka untuk bisa punya pikiran yang maha tahu dan mencegah mereka jadi punya manfaat yang maha agung untuk semua makhluk.
So we say the Buddha is also free of that of the arhat's nirvana because the Buddha has removed the subtle obscurations. The Buddha is omniscient, and the Buddha exists and radiates out many emanation bodies to be able to benefit sentient beings and lead them to awakening.
Ya, artinya Buddha itu sudah bebas dari kondisi arahat, sehingga Buddha itu punya pikiran yang maha agung. Dia bisa teremanis berwujud dalam begitu banyak bentuk untuk bisa menolong membebaskan semua makhluk yang begitu banyak tanpa itu.
So when we say non-abiding nirvana, the two extremes are cyclic existence and one's personal state of nirvana.
Jadi kalau kita tidak Buddha tidak berdiam di nirvana, artinya bebas dari dua sisi, bebas dari kelahiran, kondisi kelahiran berulang dan kedamaian yang bertahan lama berjalan.
So this is how it's described in the Mahayana tradition. The Theravada tradition talks about it in a slightly different way.
Nah, inilah yang salah satu membedakan antara tradisi Mahayana dan Theravada membicarakannya dengan cukup berbeda.
So, let's do our chanting, some meditation, then we will go back. Before we do that, how did you like the meditation of trying to do the thought transformation teachings and think in different ways about when people criticize you throughout the 3,000 worlds and steal all your things? How did you find meditating on that? Were you able to transform your mind a little bit and release some anger?
Bagaimana perasaan Anda saat melakukan meditasi di mana Anda membayangkan orang mengkritik Anda jadi malam? Apakah Anda mampu sedikit mentransformasi pikiran Anda? Ada komentar?
Sebenarnya
So you didn't do the meditation. Yes. Things because we can deal with them through the Dharma and release them. Anybody else want to share their experience?
So I would like to share what has happened to me after these 2 days, after practicing for the past 2 days.
Probably not a good one.
Not a good sharing problem. Not a good experience. And it's also funny. So this morning, when I woke up and I was about to brush my teeth, and suddenly I remembered I had a dream last night.
Saya mimpi suami saya membawa cerai.
So the dream was my husband brings another woman. Not another man.
Muncul karena ini bentuk asli kemelekatan
saya yang paling
tingkat tinggi.
Karena
bukan anak.
This coming up, the dream came out of a very huge attachment to my husband. Because I didn't dream about my children.
Walaupun saya kemarin memvisualisasikan mereka selain malah lebih cenderung ke anak-anak daripada suami, tapi yang muncul di mimpi itu suami.
So during the visualization, mostly I visualize my children, but the person coming to my dream was my husband. So he did the visualization, and the object was the children.
What visualization?
During the visualization.
About the attachment.
About the
people that we attached to, people that we love.
Oh, you did it with your children, but then you dreamt about your husband. Okay. Then you see you have some attachment to him. And maybe some jealousy?
It's a wife hell.
It's what, yes.
It's a wife hell.
Padahal saya berapa hari tidak memikirkannya. Kok bisa muncul dalam mimpi?
Ya, itu siapa?
Suami.
Yang terjadi kalau udah married. So I have not been thinking about him for the past few days, but instead it is him coming to my dream.
But remember
it's only a dream.
It's
just a dream.
Jadi kan itu cuma mimpi, lalu saya lega, lalu cuma mimpi.
Okay, dari cerita sister kita, saya semalam juga mengalami mimpi.
That his wife was with her husband.
I have this enlightenment from his story.
Ketika semalam menerima pertanyaan saya, apa yang menjadi objek saya bingung.
So I was confused when verbal asked me about my object yesterday.
Mungkin saya perlu waktu lebih lama untuk berpikir siapa yang saya paling benci. Lalu siapa yang paling saya sayangi?
Probably it takes more time for me to consider who I love the most and who I hate the most.
Jadi semalam saya mimpi yang datang dalam mimpi saya ibu saya.
Oh, so I had a dream. It was my mother coming to me.
Jadi kemungkinan
I was dreaming about my mother.
Jadi kemungkinan besar terikatan paling besar saya adalah ibu saya.
So most probably the biggest attachment that I have is with my mom.
Jadi itu lanjutan hampir mirip serupa tapi tidak sama.
So that's the continuation of the story. It's quite the same. It's about dream, but actually it's not the same. It is not the same dream.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's very natural when you're doing intense Dharma practice for your dreams to be unusual.
Ya, kalau berlatih Dharma secara mendalam ya, berkelanjutan, wajar mimpi Anda itu menjadi tidak umum.
Yeah, it's all part of the purification practice.
Itu semua bagian dari praktik pokoknya.
Yeah, so that we can see different parts of ourselves. Or sometimes it's some karma ripening and then finishing in the dream.
Kita bisa melihat mimpi yang lain atau karma yang lain yang selesai di dalam mimpi kita.
But these thought training practices are very helpful to apply, whether real life or a dream.
Pelatihan pikiran ini sangat membantu untuk diterapkan di kehidupan nyata maupun di dalam mimpi.
What's the problem?
Problem.
Okay. Actually, the Dharma teachings are more important than pictures. We have lots of pictures. How about if you sit down and... at the Abbey too. I tell them to stop taking pictures. It's time to listen, not look.
Okay. Attachment to camera.
Ashina.
So I would like to ask questions, but this is not about the trip.
Okay.
Misalnya kita pernah dikecewakan seorang tersakiti. Setelah itu sebenarnya mungkin kita sudah merasa kita sudah memaafkan, tidak ada lagi kebencian di dalam hati. So. Tapi dengan orang tersebut kayaknya kita tidak bisa seakrab dulu lagi. Ada sesuatu jarak dan kayaknya kalau bisa kita udah tahu sifatnya seperti apa dan kita menjaga hubungan dengan orang seperti itu, tapi nggak ada lagi kebencian. Jadi kalau seperti itu apakah kita benar nggak tindakan seperti itu, dan apa atau apakah sebetulnya kita belum melepaskan kebencian itu, tapi kita merasa kita nggak membenci lagi, kita menjaga jarak sekarang lagi kayaknya berhubungan dengan orang.
So the question is like this: let's say there is someone hurt us, and somehow we forgive him or her already, but somehow we find a way that we really cannot relate to them in the same way like we did it before. And that time we try to keep distance with the person because we already know his or her traits or her attitude. Mm-hmm. So keeping the distance actually is a good way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes if for example, let's say there's somebody who you thought was very honest and then they lied to you, yeah, then after that, you may forgive them for lying to you, but you may always, have this thing of, I just need to go slowly and make sure this person's, speaking the truth. And that's kind of natural, I think.
Yeah, jadi kalau misalnya suhu sangat percaya seseorang, lalu dia membohongi Anda, lalu Anda harus menjaga jarak dan berhati-hati akan setiap ucapan yang dia katakan. Jadi hal seperti itu sifatnya sangat normal.
So sometimes we say forgive and forget. I think it's good to forgive, but we should remember certain things, so that we don't make the same mistake again.
Yeah, jadi ada orang bilang maafkan dan lupakan, tapi menurut saya kita harus memaafkan dan bisa mempelajarinya sehingga kita tidak melakukan kesalahan yang sama.
So forgiving someone doesn't mean saying, oh, what you did is okay. It doesn't mean that. It just means we're going to stop being angry about it.
Ya, memaafkan itu berarti tidak apa-apa. Bukan berarti kita bilang itu tidak apa-apa. Memaafkan itu hanya berarti kita berhenti punya kemarahan akan hal tersebut.
Okay. So sometimes it may feel uncomfortable, like in the case of lying, if it's somebody that you're very close to, and then after that you you're not so close because you're not sure how much they're telling the truth. So you don't want to become a suspicious person, doubting everybody, yeah. But you also don't want to just say, well, nobody ever lies either. Yeah. But to say, okay, sometimes that happens. Most of the time it doesn't. So I just have to be attentive and not make a big deal about it.
Ya, intinya kita kalau tidak percaya kepada orang itu, kita jaga jarak. Tujuannya agar kita tidak curiga terus-menerus, setiap saat kita curiga. Tapi kita juga tahu bahwa tidak semua orang itu pasti pada saatnya ketika mereka harus mengatakan sesuatu tidak jujur. Jadi kalau dengan cara seperti itu, kita jadi tidak terlalu cemas, tidak menjadikannya sebagai sesuatu yang besar. Bahwa kadang-kadang ada orang yang bohong, ada orang yang jujur, tapi khusus untuk orang yang kita percaya dan ternyata dia tidak jujur, kita jaga jarak. Jadi nggak usah tiap kali dia ngomong kita cemas gitu, ini jujur apa?
Sometimes when things happen between people, it's good, you know, to let it cool off for some time and then see if it's possible to discuss it with the other person, because sometimes our problem is one of misunderstanding, not that somebody actually was trying to hurt us or not that they acted in a non-virtuous way, but that there was just misunderstanding between them and us.
Yeah. Kalau di antara dua orang perlu ada masa untuk tenang, lalu kedua orang ini bisa membicarakan, karena mungkin persoalannya cuma kesalahpahaman, bukan karena orang itu sengaja atau ingin melakukan sesuatu yang buruk sama kita, tapi hanya kesalahpahaman saja.
But it's good really to be able to just let go. It happened. What can I learn from it? See what you can learn from the situation, and then go forward with your new knowledge.
Jadi kita ambil hikmah pelajaran dari itu, lalu kita teruskan hidup kita dengan hikmah tersebut.
Personally speaking, I've noticed that often when things have happened between me and other people, they may have done whatever, but I had unrealistic expectations of them.
Ya, misalnya sesuatu terjadi sama saya punya masalah sama orang, tapi biasanya itu terjadi karena saya dulu punya harapan yang tidak realistis terhadap orang tersebut.
Yeah, I expected them to never do anything non-virtuous, and that's a little bit unrealistic, isn't it?
Saya mau.
They're sentient beings.
Saya berharap orang itu tidak sama sekali tidak pernah melakukan keburukan, tapi kan itu tidak masuk akal. Mereka cuma manusia biasa.
So if I often let go of my unrealistic expectations, then my mind calms down.
Kalau saya bisa melepaskan harapan yang tidak realistik itu, pikiran saya bisa lebih tenang.
Okay.
Sesi tanya jawabnya jam 11.
Oke sih. Itu di
diskus ya.
Maybe this turned out to be a question and answer.
Sorry, kalau jadi sesi tanya.
This will be the last question. We'll go.
Terakhir.
How can we distinguish the difference between attachment and responsibility? I mean,
bagaimana kita bisa membedakan antara keterikatan, keterikatan dengan tanggung jawab?
I mean, like this. If one day, what my child decide to have to be a monk or a nun, and I don't let her do it because I care too much for them. We can call that attachment. Me, we can.
Kalau suatu hari salah satu anak saya memutuskan dari monastik, lalu saya tidak izinkan, itu karena saya peduli kepada mereka.
Melekat,
terikat kepada mereka.
But what if one day I decide to be a mom, and that mean I let go of all my responsibility.
All your what?
Let go of all of my responsibilities.
Responsibilities. Okay.
Because I'm a head of family, I have to make a living for them. So is that an attachment? Or as well as can I? How can I distinguish?
Responsibility.
Kalau saya yang mau jadi biku, apakah itu lari dari tanggung jawab? Apakah itu bentuk keterikatan atau pertanyaannya itu?
So attachment is based on exaggerating the good qualities of someone or something.
Keterikatan itu adalah melebih-lebihkan kualitas diri seseorang atau sesuatu.
So with attachment, our mind is not seeing things in a realistic way conventionally.
Ya, dengan keterikatan kita tidak melihat segala sesuatu itu seperti apa aja.
Okay. So, for example, if you don't let your children ordain because you want them to be in the family so that they will take care of you when you're old, that's definitely attachment because you're exaggerating the importance of having them near you.
Jadi kalau Anda tidak mengizinkan mereka dari monastik karena berharap nanti mereka akan merawat Anda setelah tua, maka Anda sebenarnya melebih-lebihkan diri mereka sesuatu yang mereka harus lakukan kepada Anda.
Yeah, and so you're thinking primarily of yourself, and you're not thinking, you wouldn't be thinking in a dharma way, you know, thinking about the merit they would create by being ordained and their future lives and the benefit and so on.
Jadi itu kalau kita tidak diizinkan kita hanya mikirin diri sendiri, kita tidak berpikir secara dharma, manfaat yang mereka dapatkan, kehidupan mendatang mereka, kebajikan yang mereka bisa dapatkan dan seterusnya.
Okay. Then the question you said, what about the Buddha when he left the palace and he left his wife and his newborn child and his parents? And he just said bye everybody and went off. Was he, in English we have this expression deadbeat dad. Deadbeat dad, like a dad who isn't responsible.
Deadbeat.
Yeah. So if, yeah, a deadbeat is somebody who just doesn't know anything, okay? So, was what the Buddha did selfish? Was it irresponsible?
Lalu pertanyaannya bagaimana dengan Buddha yang meninggalkan istri, anak, keluarga? Apakah beliau tidak bertanggung jawab?
So remember yesterday I said that the real value of what we do is not so much the action but more the motivation.
Ya, tapi ingat nilai kita itu lebih ke niatnya, bukan tindakannya.
So in the case of the Buddha, he had a very altruistic motivation for doing this.
Untuk Buddha, niat beliau sangat tulus dan mulia.
And he also knew that his wife and child would be well cared for, you know, because the family had wealth and his parents would take care of the wife and child.
Untuk kasusnya beliau, dia tahu anak dan istri pasti terawat. Karena cukup dan orang tua Buddha pasti akan juga merawat dan menjaga mereka.
So, you know, I think in that kind of situation, there's a good motivation, and there were already ways for the family to be cared for. So, you know, there was no lack of responsibility on the Buddha's part.
Ya, dari sisi Buddha, motivasinya baik dan anak-anaknya. Istri yang bisa dijaga, jadi tidak ada rasa ketidakbertanggungjawaban dari Siddhartha dan Buddha.
So that's different than if the Buddha said, I want to be a monk because I cannot stand this kid screaming in the middle of the night. I hate my wife now. I'm just totally fed up because all she does is this and this and this. And I want out of here, so I think I'll go be a monk. That's not a good motivation.
Saya sudah tahan sama anak saya tiap pagi berisik, dan tahan sama istri saya, saya benci, saya sudah nerang sama ini semua. Nah, saya mau jadi biku aja. Saya nggak mau urus urusan ini lagi.
Okay, so does that answer your question? Okay.
Not yet. What if that is me? If I do that. If I do that, am I not responsibility, or I just do for a human being?
Buat saya, kalau buat saya gimana? Apakah saya melakukannya karena saya mau lepas dari tanggung jawab atau punya untuk makna ini?
That mean for many in my wife eyes or my children eyes, they will say I'm not doing my responsibility, and I will neglect them. They will maybe they will more suffer because I'm not earning living for them anymore. So is that an attachment if I let go of that?
Okay.
Let me try to clarify to find out. Probably the case is it is happening to him. Let's say he is about to get ordained, and will his wife and children think that he is being irresponsible?
Yeah. Is it just that they think he's being irresponsible, or that they're going to be have no money to live? And
exactly. They probably also have no money to live because no one is earning a living for the family.
Okay. So it's good in that situation to see what is possible to arrange for the family so that the kids can continue their education. Maybe the wife has to go to work. Maybe there's pension plans. Maybe the grandparents can help. You know, you look for ways so that the family can be taken care of. That doesn't mean that they need to be rich, but that they, you know, can are taken care of.
Jadi pastikan istri anak-anak itu punya uang untuk sekolah, istrinya mungkin harus bekerja, mungkin ada rencana pensiun atau kakek nenek bisa merawat. Yang jelas pastikan akan ada yang merawat mereka. Keluarga ditinggalkan itu ada yang
mana? That means responsibility is still a responsibility.
Yeah, I mean it depends on the situation. Yeah, it depends on the situation. But you know, becoming ordained doesn't mean that you just say, well, bye everybody, you know, I don't care about this.
Yeah, tapi kan itu bukan berarti. Ya, selamat tinggal semuanya saya akan peduli. Bergantung sama kondisi juga.
On the other hand, I've heard some people say, well, my parents don't want me to ordain. They're grown up. You know. My parents don't want me to ordain. They will be very unhappy if I ordain. They want me to get married and have grandchildren. And so therefore, you know, I feel like as a good child, I should do what my parents want. That I think has some attachment to it.
Sebaliknya yang biasa terjadi, anak-anak tidak diizinkan orang tua. Orang tua mau anaknya bubu, ya, menikah, punya cucu, ya. Nah, kalau itu mungkin di situ ada perbedaan.
Okay. At this point, I do want to talk a little bit about the difference between attachment and love, because I think that's an important distinction to make.
Di titik ini saya pikir perlu untuk kita memperjelas perbedaan antara kasih, cinta, dengan keterikatan.
Okay, because we use the word love very loosely in society, and you know, in the movies, I love you, I can't live without you, you know, and of course the next scene they're fighting. You know, so we get very confused about what love is.
Cinta, cinta. Ya, karena kita sering menggunakan kata itu secara bebas. Di film, aku gak bisa hidup sama kamu, aku cinta kamu. Adegan berikutnya, mereka sudah menangkan. Jadi kita betul-betul paham makna kata cinta.
So the example we see in the movies and what we hear on the songs, that is attachment. That speaks of attachment.
Ya, contoh-contoh yang kita lihat di TV, di lagu itu semuanya adalah keterikatan.
Okay. Similarly, if you have a child and like,
oh, my child, I've got to make sure everything's perfect for my child, and my child is the most wonderful one in the world, and they're going to succeed at absolutely everything, you know, and I've got to protect my child from everything bad they can't experience, any suffering, so I'm going to control their whole life to make sure they're okay. That's attachment.
Yang punya anak nih ya, yang semua mau diatur yang terbaik, yang orang yang paling penting di dunia, mereka tidak boleh menderita sama sekali, itu keterikatan.
Okay. On the other hand, you know, love is wanting someone to have happiness and the causes of happiness.
Sebaliknya, cinta itu harapan, niat agar orang itu bahagia dan punya sebab-sebab bahagia.
And when we love somebody, there's no strings attached.
Saat kita mencintai seseorang, tidak ada ikatan, tidak ada keterikatan.
Okay. When there's attachment, there's strings attached.
Dengan keterikatan, ya, ada satu ikatan yang kita buat.
I want you to be happy because when you're happy, you make me happy.
Saya mau kamu bahagia karena saat kamu bahagia, kamu buat saya bahagia.
I want you to be happy because then you'll stay with me.
Saya mau kamu bahagia karena dengan itu kamu akan tetap bersama saya.
I want you to be happy as my children because then I can brag about you.
Brag
to say how wonderful my children are.
Jadi saya mau anak-anak bahagia dan nanti saya bisa pamerin.
Okay, so you see in those situations there's some strings, isn't there? I want you to be happy because somehow I have something to gain for that.
Kondisi-kondisi itu ada ikatannya. Karena kalau kamu bahagia, ada sesuatu yang saya dapatkan.
Okay. So it's very difficult actually to really love somebody without having any expectations.
Sulit sekali ya mencintai seseorang tanpa ada sedikit pun harapan.
But we try to do that. We try to reduce our expectations and attachment because if we do, then we'll have a better relationship with those people.
Nah, kita berusaha untuk mengurangi keterikatan kita karena dengan begitu, dengan kurangnya keterikatan dan pembengkakan, hubungan kita akan lebih baik dengan orang tersebut.
Because when there's attachment and expectations, then we're always, our mind is stuck thinking about the other person, wanting to make sure they're this way and not that way, and you know, there's just, it causes a lot of mental turmoil.
Ya, karena dengan keberkatan dan keterikatan itu, kita ingin sesuatu itu terjadi sesuai dengan maunya kita, dan pikiran kita itu akan jadi banyak sekali gangguan.
And we often try to control the people that we're attached to.
Kita bahkan berusaha mengendalikan orang yang kita melekat kepadanya.
And that makes a big mess in a relationship.
Dan itu akan membuat kekacauan yang besar dalam sebuah hubungan.
Okay. So let's do some chanting. Then we'll have some silent meditation. In the meditation, maybe you can think about this and make some examples in your life. You know, how much of this relationship is love? How much is attachment? How can I release my attachment? How can I increase the love?
Kita cantik lalu nening meditasi nening. Kalau tadi saya refleksikan, apa yang kita sudah bahas, apa itu kasih? Dan bagaimana kita bisa mengurangi masalah kita dan keterikatan kita agar kita bisa punya hubungan yang lebih baik.
Remember to just visualize Chinggasi, angin, and light flowing as you recite mantra.
Ingat untuk memvisualisasikan Chinggasi berpadu dalam cahaya yang memancar saat Anda membacakan mantra.
Om Mani Padme Hum, 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 Om Mani Padme Hum,
Mari kita membangkitkan motivasi kita.
So again, bring to mind the kindness of other living beings to us in previous lives and also in this life.
Ingat-ingat kebaikan semua makhluk di kehidupan sebelumnya dan kehidupan-kehidupan yang lain.
Especially think of the kindness of strangers to us in this life, how people we do not know have been involved in making everything that we use.
Khususnya kebaikan orang yang asing, mereka yang telah bekerja untuk menyediakan kebutuhan-kebutuhan yang kita gunakan.
So due to their efforts, we have what we need, what we want. So therefore they've been kind to us.
Atas upaya dan kerja mereka, kita bisa mendapatkan yang kita butuhkan dan kita inginkan. Karena itulah kita menganggap mereka itu baik kepada kita.
So based on feeling our interdependence, our kindness we've received from them, then generate a wish for them to have happiness and be free of suffering.
Dan aku ingat kebaikan-kebaikan mereka, kita munculkan harapan agar mereka bahagia dan terbebas dari duka.
Way to free them from suffering in a long-lasting way is to be able to lead them to nirvana, to be free of psychic existence.
Dan cara agar kita bisa membantu mereka bebas dari bekas selama-lamanya adalah menuntun mereka mencapai nirwana, bebas dari lingkaran kehidupan berulang.
And to do that most effectively, we have to attain those realizations ourselves. So therefore, we aspire to become Buddhas for the benefit of all beings.
Dan tentu saja, cara yang terbaik adalah dengan punya kemampuan dan kita beraspirasi untuk menjadi Buddha bagi menolong semua makhluk.
Disparages you out of pride, place her as you would your spiritual teacher with respect on the crown of your head. This is the practice of Bodhisattvas.
Jika seseorang yang sekarang atau lebih rendah menghina harga diri Anda, tepatnya ia selayaknya guru spiritual Anda dengan hormat seperti mahkota di kepala Anda. Inilah praktik para Bodhisattva.
So let's imagine the first two lines. If an equal or inferior person disparages you out of pride, I would even say if an equal, inferior, or superior person disparages me out of pride, because I don't like to be disparaged by anybody.
Yeah. Bukan cuma orang yang berendah, setara atau tinggi yang menghina saya, tapi saya tidak suka dihina oleh siapapun.
Okay, so think of a situation in which somebody has really put you down.
Coba ingat satu situasi orang, seseorang itu sungguh merendahkan Anda.
And kind of flaunted their own superiority over you, whether dan, it's real or imagined superiority.
Dan mereka ini menyombongkan ya ketinggian mereka. Apakah itu nyata atau mereka terlangkah aja mereka itu lebih tinggi?
Yeah.
Bagaimana rasanya? Bahagia?
Mad?
Kamu?
Yeah. The mind saying it's not fair.
Pikiran bilang itu tidak adil.
I deserve better than this.
Saya layak mendapatkan yang lebih baik dari ini.
How dare they treat me this way?
Berani-beraninya mereka memperlakukan saya seperti ini.
Especially if they're equal to me or they're inferior to me, they should acknowledge my superiority and shut up and be, you know, do what I want them to do.
Khususnya mereka lebih rendah dari saya atau lebih setara. Mereka itu harusnya diam atau lakukan apa perintah saya, apa yang saya mau.
What's going on in your head?
Itu apa? Ada di pikiran Anda?
Or is it only me that thinks like that?
Atau cuma beliau saja yang berpikir seperti itu?
So maybe where you're working, you know, a colleague on an equal level, or maybe somebody who's your junior, you know, or somebody who doesn't have the same qualifications as you do, they get uppity and they proclaim that they're better than you, and you know, point out a mistake and humiliate you or make up a lie and put you down.
Di tempat kerja ada yang lebih rendah atau junior atau orang baru dan Anda menganggap diri Anda lebih hebat, lalu dia menjatuhkan Anda, ngomongnya enggak tentang Anda.
Okay. At that time there's a very strong sense of I or me, isn't there?
Dan saat itu, di momen itu ada keakuan yang sangat tinggi.
It's quite strong, isn't it? How dare they treat me that way?
Berani-beraninya mereka memperlakukan saya.
Okay. So this is exactly the independent, the appearance of the independent or inherently existent I.
Ya, inilah persis munculnya si aku yang bergantung ya. Yang muncul, yang ada karena ketergantungan.
So that I does not exist as it appears at that moment as some strong, real, solid thing.
Ya, karena saya yang muncul itu tidak muncul sebagai sesuatu yang nyata, yang kokoh, yang kuat.
Yeah. So it's hard to catch the appearance of the false I when you're doing the meditation on emptiness. But at this time, it's a very good time because it appears so vividly.
Ya, sulit sekali saat kita memeditasikan sunyata untuk melihat I, ya, untuk melihat pandangan salah tentang aku ini. Tapi dalam kondisi seperti itu, mudah sekali bagi kita untuk bisa menangkap.
Okay. So when the remedy is place her as you would your spiritual teacher with respect on the crown of your head. This is
bagaimana cara kita mengatasinya? Di sini diajarkan menempatkan dia selayaknya guru spiritual dengan hormat kita letakkan seperti mahkota di atas kepala. Inilah praktik para bodhisattva.
Okay. So in one way we can do this because this person is helping us see the false I and identify it so that we can investigate whether it exists or not. So in that way, they're like our spiritual teacher.
Kenapa orang ini kita anggap layak sebagai guru spiritual? Karena dengan cara seperti itu, ia membuat kita bisa melihat, menangkap pandangan keliru tentang aku yang kita miliki.
In another way, they're our spiritual teacher because they're pointing out to us how arrogant we are and how attached to reputation and approval we are.
Dia juga menunjukkan pada kita betapa kita sombong akan diri kita dan betapa kita sangat terikat kepada nama baik dan reputasi.
Because we don't often get to see that very arrogant side of ourselves so clearly.
Karena sering banget kita nggak bisa melihat sisi sombongnya kita dengan jelas.
And how much we're grasping them. They've got to appreciate me because I'm wonderful.
Dan kita nggak pernah bisa melihat betapa kita mencengkramnya begitu kuatnya dan bilang harusnya mereka itu hormat sama saya ini kan penerjemahan hebat.
But under the surface in our mind, there's a lot of insecurity because if they don't appreciate me, maybe that means I'm not worthwhile.
Dan sebenarnya kita tuh cemas. Kalau mereka tidak menghormati saya, sesungguhnya mungkin saya tidak sebegitu berharga.
So do you see how this thing of praise and approval and reputation and, you know, with arrogance, also go hand in hand with not believing in ourselves and, you know, and feeling quite insecure.
Yeah, rasa sombong, rasa tinggi hati, reputasi ini bersatu dengan rasa ketidaknyamanan kita, ketidakamanan kita. Yang membuat kita itu jadi merasa tidak nyaman.
And so do you see how the whole show runs around me and how I relate to others?
Dan Anda lihat bagaimana pertunjukannya itu seputar tentang diri saya dan cara saya berhubungan dengan orang lain.
You see that? Do you worry so much about whether somebody else appreciates, you know, the guy who's cooking lunch?
Anda cemas gak? Orang-orang itu puji si tukang masak.
Okay.
Gak perlu.
But we care a lot if somebody appreciates me.
Peduli banget saat seseorang itu menghargai saya.
And if they disparage me and think they're better than me, they don't appreciate me. If they disparage and think they're better than the guy who cooks the food, that's a problem.
Ya, jadi jika mereka menghargai si tukang masak nggak masalah, tapi kalau mereka menghargai saya, ini menjadi sesuatu yang besar.
Okay. Do you see also in this situation the self-centered thought is so clear.
Dalam kondisi ini, ya, pemikiran egois kita itu menjadi sangat jernih. Yeah.
So this person is also like a spiritual mentor to us. In pointing out our self-centered thought.
Ya, orang ini egois spiritual. Kenapa? Karena dia menunjukkan pemikiran egois kita.
So we may say, well, yeah, okay. They point out my self-grasping ignorance. They point out my self-centered thought. You know, so yeah, they're like my spiritual teacher. But bow to them, put them on the crown of my head.
Oke, dia guru spiritual saya, dia tunjukkan pemikiran egois saya, tapi saya letakkan di atas kepala saya.
Yeah, because the crown of our head is where we put our spiritual mentor. I'm gonna put this brush. I'm gonna put him on the crown of my head.
Atas kepala saya itu tempat guru spiritual memang. Tapi si brengsek itu di sini, serius.
Okay. Yeah. So you find that there's that because there's still our pride. You know, I've got to be best. I've got to win this argument. I've got to be the best and win the competition.
Karena masih ada kesombongan di hati yang harus saya yang menang kompetisi ini.
Some people, they see their whole life in terms of competition.
Ada sebagian orang melihat hidup mereka itu sebagai kompetisi.
One person was telling me that she realized this about herself because one day she was riding her bicycle and the bus, you know, the city bus was alongside her. And she started racing with the bus to see if she could get to her bus stop first.
Ada satu orang bercerita dari yang sepeda, lalu ada bus di sampingnya. Lalu dia menanggungi ya, agar dia bisa sampai di tempat pemberhentian bus itu lebih dulu dari si bus.
So that's a small situation, but she realized, wow, in my whole life, I'm always competing with somebody so that I can come out better.
Itu situasi kecil. Lalu dia sadari dalam kehidupannya dia selalu berkompetisi dengan orang lain agar bisa menjadi yang lebih baik.
So it was a good realization on her part.
Ini satu realisasi yang baik yang dia bisa dapatkan.
So to get rid of it, what do? We make ourselves humble. We realize that we're not so special.
Terus bagaimana mengatasinya? Kita rendah hati dan kita sadari kita tidak begitu istimewa.
We're just like everybody else, a sentient being in samsara who wants to be happy and not suffer.
Ya, kita sama seperti semua makhluk di samsara, mau bahagia dan tidak mau menderita.
Yeah, there's really nothing particularly special about us.
Ya, ada istimewa yang kita diri.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
Susah ya, berpikir seperti itu.
Okay, verse 18. So imagine this situation. Though you lack what you need and are constantly disparaged, afflicted by dangerous sickness and spirits. Okay, imagine that situation.
Bayangkan situasi pertama ya. Anda berkekurangan dalam kondisi terhina, terhimpit oleh sakit fisik maupun non-fisik yang berbahaya.
Okay, so maybe you need an education and you can't get one, and people are looking down on you.
Mungkin Anda perlu pendidikan tapi tidak bisa, lalu orang-orang menghina Anda.
Okay, maybe you need food and you're not able to get it, and you know, people are just bossing you around, like some of the refugees that we see.
Mungkin Anda tidak bisa untuk makanan, lalu orang-orang itu memerintah Anda. Anda lihat apa yang terjadi dengan para pengungsi.
Or another situation, you're very, very sick.
Atau di satu kondisi, Anda sangat-sangat sakit.
Yeah, you might have a terminal illness, the medicine. Maybe you can't get the medicine you need, or it's not working.
Ada beberapa kritis, lalu tidak bisa dapat obat atau obatnya tidak berjalan.
Yeah, maybe even there's some interference from other living beings.
Mungkin ada gangguan diganggu oleh makhluk-makhluk hidup yang lain.
Yeah, in other words, kind of like your life is falling apart.
Yeah, ini simpelnya hidup Anda ini jadi berantakan.
Maybe your spouse left, your children are mad at you, your parents blame you.
Pasangan Anda meninggalkan Anda, anak-anak pergi, orang tua menyalahkan Anda.
Yeah, you got fired from your job.
Dipecat dari pekerjaan.
Yeah. Okay, so you're in a bad situation.
Kasihan ya, lu ya. Kondisinya buruk sekali ya.
Okay, what is our usual behavior and thought process if that happens?
Kalau itu yang terjadi, biasanya apa yang kita pikirkan? Aku rokok.
Do you feel sorry for yourself a little bit?
Anda cukup mengasihani diri Anda?
Look what happened to me. I'm sick. You know, I don't have food, I don't have an education, the world is unfair to me.
Yeah.
And we feel very justified in our self-pity, don't we?
Dan kita itu suka merasa justified untuk menggunakan diri kita.
Don't we? Yeah? When we have a pity party, we feel we're completely entitled to feel sorry for ourselves.
Kalau kita punya pity party itu kayak kalau kita lagi sedih, kita suka ngomongin sama orang. Atau kita merasa mengasihi diri kita sendiri.
And so then we complain to other people. Look what's happened to me. I'm so sick and I can't get, the doctor won't see me immediately and my family doesn't talk to me. And so we complain and complain to other people.
Apa yang kita lakukan? Kita mengeluh dan mengeluh. Ada yang mau merawat saya, dokter tidak mau menemui saya. Itu banyak keluhan yang kita ungkapkan.
Okay. Do you know some people who complain all the time?
Kenal orang yang komplain dulu?
Yeah, every time you're on the phone, same complaints. Boring.
Setiap kali di telepon, keluhannya sama. Itu dulu. Bosan.
But my complaints are very interesting.
Tapi komplain saya itu penting sekali, menarik sekali.
Yeah, and I want time to tell my story of how the world is unfair to me. Because did you know that my brother did this, my sister did that, the government had this, my friends. You can't put this. No, I mean, this is really terrible how people pull me down and don't.
Masalah saya berkita, harus diceritakan. Ya, orang ini melakukan ini kepada saya, orang kakak saya, pemerintah, dan begitu banyak hal-hal yang saya keluhkan dan Anda harus mendengarkan saya.
And in case you forget how bad my life is, I'll happily tell you again.
Kalau Anda lupa tentang buruknya hidup saya, nanti saya kasih tahu lagi.
Because I expect this to be the most important thing in your mind.
Karena saya berharap hidup saya berantakan ini jadi hal yang paling penting dalam pikiran Anda.
Okay. So it's either we feel sorry for ourselves or we get really mad at the world for not taking care of us.
Biasanya kita mengasihani diri sendiri atau kita marah sama dunia karena dunia tidak merawat kita dengan baik.
Sometimes we go back and forth. In the morning we feel sorry, in the afternoon we're angry.
Kita bolak-balik aja. Pagi, kalau di pagi hari kita mengasihani diri, nanti siangnya, sorenya kita jadi marah.
Yeah. And we can get ourselves good and stuck in this thought pattern.
Dan kita terjebak ya di dalam kondisi atau pola pikir seperti ini.
In fact, I know people. I'm not like this, but I know other people.
Saya nggak seperti ini, tapi saya tahu orang lain yang seperti ini.
That have this problem. That they get really stuck in feeling sorry for themselves and see the whole world as being unfair to them.
Dan itu masalah mereka, yang mereka sangat mengasihani dirinya dan melihat seluruh dunia itu tidak adil kepada dia.
And they complain morning, afternoon, and night.
Dan mereka mengeluh sehari tiga hari, pagi, siang, dan malam.
All I want to do is get away from that. My compassion stops at that point.
Dan saya mau nggak mau tahu urusan dia lagi. Welas asih saya berhenti sampai di situ saja.
But like I said, my problems I will happily tell you, and my complaints I will happily repeat because they're really important and quite interesting.
Seperti saya bilang, ya, masalah saya, persoalan saya adalah hal yang paling penting di dunia dan saya akan ceritakan kepada Anda berulang-ulang.
Okay, so what's the way out of this situation?
Lalu apa cara mengatasi kondisi situasi ini?
Okay. We're advised, without discouragement, take on the misdeeds and pain of all living beings. This is the practice of Bodhisattva.
Disarankan tanpa putus asa tanggunglah semua keburukan dan penyakit atau penderitaan semua makhluk. Inilah praktik para bodhisattva.
Okay. And we go what?
Yeah.
First of all, without discouragement, well, that's impossible because I'm very discouraged right now.
Tanpa putus asa itu nggak mungkin. Karena saya sekarang ini sangat-sangat putus asa.
And take on the misdeeds and pain of others, they should take on my misdeeds and my pain.
Mengambil semua kesalahan dan penderitaan semua makhluk, mereka yang harusnya ngambil punya saya.
Okay, so do you see again how our self-centered thought is running the show here?
Bisa terlihat bagaimana pemikiran egois kita yang bekerja di sini.
Why are we in this desperate situation to start with?
Kenapa kita harus berada dalam kondisi tersebut?
Because in the past, we did things that caused illness to others, or we harmed others' bodies, or we ruined their reputation out of jealousy and talking behind their back.
Karena di kehidupan lampau kita telah menyebabkan orang sakit, terluka, atau kita membicarakan keburukan mereka di belakang kita.
And what motivated me to act like that in the past? It certainly wasn't love and compassion.
Apa motivasi saya melakukan itu? Pasti bukan cinta kasih dan belas kasih.
It was self-centeredness. It was jealousy. It was arrogance.
Kesombongan, cemburuan, dan pemikiran egois lah yang menyebabkan.
So there's no reason for me to blame the world for my problems because I created the karmic cause for them.
Jadi kita tidak bisa menyalahkan dunia atas masalah saya, karena saya lah yang menyebabkan, karma saya lah yang menyebabkan.
And if I don't like this situation, I need to stop being so self-centered and stop doing so many things that interfere with other living beings' happiness.
Untuk menghentikannya, saya harus menghentikan pemikiran egois saya dan hal-hal yang mengganggu kebahagiaan atau kesejahteraan makhluk lain.
So instead of continuing to cause them harm and pain, now I'm going to think of the pain that they have and the negative karma that they have that will bring them pain, and I'm going to take that from them doing the taking and giving meditation.
Yeah, jadi alih-alih melakukan lebih banyak penyebab untuk penderitaan mereka, ya, saya akan mengambil luka mereka, kesakitan mereka, dan inilah kita lakukan pada saat kita menggunakan mempraktikkan meditasi taking and giving, mengambil dan menerima.
And so we do the taking and giving meditation, taking on their pain and misdeeds, using it to destroy our own self-centeredness.
Itu yang kita lakukan, kita mengambil duka mereka, kesalahan mereka, dan kita gunakan untuk menghancurkan, melenyapkan pemikiran egois kita.
And then imagining giving our body, possessions, and merit, transforming them into whatever living beings need, and happily, without any attachment, but really with compassion, giving them to all these living beings.
Tubuh kita, kepemilikan kita, kebajikan kita, kita bayangkan berubah menjadi apapun yang dibutuhkan oleh mereka. Lalu dengan ketulusan, ya, tanpa mengharapkan apapun, kita berikan kepada makhluk hidup yang membutuhkan.
And thinking that they are happy when receiving them, and that they can now practice the Dharma and attain realizations.
Pikirkan mereka bahagia saat menerimanya, dan mereka bisa mempraktekkan Dharma dan mencapai realisasi.
And then feeling content and fulfilled ourselves for being able to bring this about, even though it's a visualization.
Iya, dan kita merasa puas diri, merasa bahagia, karena kita mampu untuk membantu mereka mencapai realisasi.
So this meditation on taking and giving that you did last night is very useful anytime you're unhappy.
Meditasi yang kita lakukan kemarin, ya, mengambil dan memberikan sangat baik untuk dipraktikkan saat kita tidak bahagia.
That's right. I highly recommend it.
Sangat direkomendasi.
Next verse.
Ayat berikutnya.
Okay, though you become
become famous and many bow to you. Oh, I like this version. And you gain riches equal to Vaishravana. Vaishravana is one worldly god, the god of wealth. So, oh, this is very, very nice verse. I like this one. Yeah?
Jadi, ya artinya walaupun anda terkenal dan dihormati oleh semua orang dan memiliki kekayaan yang sama seperti dewa Vaishravana, dewa kekayaan.
So I'm famous, I'm rich, I'm attractive, I'm athletic, I'm talented, I'm musical, artistic, intelligent, successful, and many people think I'm wonderful.
Bayangin ya, sangat ganteng. Kaya, pintar, atletis, pokoknya top deh ya, dia nomor satu di dunia. Time to practice. And people receive you in public.
So all your samsaric wishes and self-centered wantings, cravings are fulfilled and you are on top of the world.
Semua keinginan samsara Anda itu terpenuhi. Dan Anda ada di puncak dunia.
And your whole life you've been competing with your brother or sister to prove that you're better, and now.
So, seumur hidup Anda berkompetisi dengan saudara Anda dan sekarang, ya, hebat.
Yeah. Your whole life you've been trying to prove to your parents that you're worthwhile, and now.
Seumur hidup Anda ingin membuktikan sama orang tua Anda, ya, dan Anda buktikan sekarang sudah mencapai.
For your half your life you've been trying to prove to that boyfriend that dumped you that you're really wonderful, spectacular, and now you are, and he can just sit and rot.
Ya, seperti itu Anda mau membuktikan sama pacar yang pernah mencampakkan Anda dan sekarang tua dia menyesal dia mencampakkan Anda.
He chose somebody else, not me.
Dia pilih orang lain dan bukan saya.
Okay, so there you go. You got it, Albert. Okay.
Itu semua ya. Anda paham ya kondisi tersebut ya.
So at this moment, we think there's no use for dharma practice.
Dan di saat itu kita menganggap praktik dharma itu enggak ada gunanya.
I'll practice dharma when I'm suffering, okay, to eliminate my suffering. But now I've got it. I don't need dharma.
Ya, saya akan praktek dharma saat saya menderita, saat saya berduka, tapi sekarang saya enggak butuh dharma.
Yeah. I'm really serious here because I really see with many people as soon as their life turns for the better, they forget the dharma.
Ya, ini serius ya. Beliau banyak melihat orang ketika hidupnya lebih baik, mereka berpaling dari dharma.
Yeah. They're just complacent. They're, you know, they have no need for the dharma. And it's a real tragedy because whatever goes up also must come down.
Ya, jadi mereka puas dan mereka tidak butuh dharma lagi. Tapi sesungguhnya ini sebuah tragedi. Karena kita tahu apapun yang ada di puncak nanti pasti akan turun.
So we're in this situation, we're just a little bit proud and arrogant.
Ya, dalam kondisi ini kita kesombongannya cuma sedikit saja.
Yeah.
What do you think? A little bit?
Sedikit, ya?
A little bit conceited?
Sedikit sombong, sedikit tinggi hati.
Yeah. How about a lot conceited?
Bagaimana kesombongan kita banyak?
Okay. Yeah, is conceit a virtuous attitude?
Apakah kesombongan tinggi hati satu sikap yang positif?
Because it's blown up, it's unrealistic.
Karena itu tidak realistis, ya.
Okay. So what are we advised to do in this situation to make our mind more, you know, normal, more humble? Yeah.
Apa yang kita bisa lakukan agar kita menjadi lebih rendah hati, lebih normal?
See that worldly fortune is without essence, and be unconceited. This is the practice of bodhisattva.
Disarankan melihat kekayaan duniawi bersifat hampa, jangan sombong. Inilah praktik para bodhisattva.
Okay. So we have all this worldly fortune, but at the end of the day, what good does it do us?
Kita punya semua ya keberuntungan duniawi, tapi di akhir kehidupan kita gunanya apa?
I have all this wealth. But if I don't lose it in this life, when I die, it's gone.
Saya punya semua kekayaan ini jika saya tidak kehilangannya sekarang. Pada saat saya meninggal semua hilang.
And when I die, the amount of money I have in this life doesn't mean beans because it's my karma that will influence what I'm reborn as.
Semua kekayaan saya saat saya meninggal tidak akan jadi milik saya juga. Karena yang berperan nanti adalah semua karma saya.
My reputation, I'm so outstanding. Yeah, again, if it doesn't crash this life, at the time of death, it ends, it's gone. You know, my body and mind are no longer together.
Reputasi saya, ya, begitu hebat, tapi nanti juga hancur pada saat saya meninggal.
When, you know, we go on to the next life, let's say we're reborn as a human being. So there you are, some little baby. Where's your reputation from your previous life?
Kalau kita lahir lagi dari manusia, dari bayi, lalu kemana reputasi kita yang kita dapat dari kehidupan sebelumnya?
Gone, isn't it?
Sudah tidak ada, kan?
Yeah. And maybe out of attachment to that reputation, you created a lot of negative karma. Then that's going to ripen in your next life.
Ya, karena reputasi kita jaga, kita menimbulkan banyak karma negatif. Dan itu akan berbuah di kehidupan berikutnya.
I got revenge on that boyfriend that dumped me.
Saya balas dendam sama pacar yang mencampakkan saya.
Yeah. Does that bring any real satisfaction?
Apakah itu memberikan kepuasan?
Anyway, you know, when I die and when he dies, he's not so good looking after all.
Lagi pula saat dia sudah mati, meninggal dan saya meninggal, dia sudah enggak gitu ganteng atau rupa lagi.
Okay, so worldly fortune, whether it's money, possessions, reputation, you know, social status, there's no essence to it. Because it comes and it goes.
Ya, kekayaan duniawi, harta, reputasi, nama baik, itu hampa. Karena mereka datang dan nanti akan juga pergi.
And when you die, does it matter whether you're in a beautiful bed or a simple bed?
Meninggal, ranjangnya mewah atau sederhana?
Yeah. When you die, does it matter whether the whole world is going to mourn you or whether nobody does? Does it matter?
Saat anda meninggal, apakah seluruh dunia berduka atau enggak ada yang peduli? Itu enggak penting.
What do we want? We want to be like Queen Elizabeth? I mean, you know what's going to go on when she dies? Mama mia.
Jadi, nanti meninggal mau seperti Ratu Elizabeth.
No, she's alive. I said, oh yeah, well Princess Diana is a good example too. But you know, when the queen dies, the country's going to go crazy. But look what happened even with Diana. You know, what good did it do her? She's dead.
You know? All these people, oh, Princess Diana, we loved her so much.
Kalau Poppy Monica, biasanya kalau Queen Elizabeth dan Monica nanti kan seluruh dunia terbuka. Seperti ketika Putri Diana meninggal, tapi bukannya ya orang akan menangis saja.
Yeah, she was with this really rich Saudi prince. What good did he do her when she died? What good was his wealth or her wealth to either of them?
Ya, jadi seorang pangeran Saudi meninggal misalnya. Pada saat dia meninggal itu, kekayaannya itu bergunanya apa buat diri dia?
Yeah. They didn't have a death worthy of royalty. They
jadi,
were, you know?
Jadi mereka ini tidak punya satu kekhususan orang bangsawan saat meninggal.
So you can see, you know, that all this stuff is without essence. So better to not cling to it and to not be so conceited about having it.
Kita tahu semua itu tidak atau hampa, jadi jangan terlalu terikat di dalamnya.
Yeah, one of my teachers had these little pith slogans, and one of them was, keep it simple, dear. He called everybody dear. So keep it simple, dear.
Jangan sombong sama barang kita. Salah satu gurunya itu punya satu slogan yang sederhana saja. Dia itu sayang, ya, dia terkasih.
Okay, so be unconceited.
Jangan sombong.
Yeah. If you have wealth, use it to benefit others.
Kalau ada punya kekayaan, gunakan untuk menolong dan membantu makhluk lain.
If you have social standing, use it to draw attention to the suffering of others so that they can receive help.
Jika Anda punya status sosial yang tinggi, gunakan untuk membantu orang lain yang menderita. Ajak orang lain untuk bisa membantu.
So if you have the good karma to have these things, realize that they actually have nothing to do with you and they should be used for the benefit of other living beings.
Kalau karma Anda sangat baik, Anda memiliki itu semua. Sadari, renungkan itu tidak ada hubungannya dengan Anda. Bukan untuk Anda, tapi gunakan untuk seluas-luasnya untuk menolong makhluk lain.
Okay. Maybe we better stop here. And you might have some questions or comments for a few minutes, and then we'll end.
Okay, kita cukupkan di sini. Lalu ada beberapa pertanyaan mungkin sebelum kita selesai. Okay. It's always like this. The first session. Any questions?
Why?
Last session. Yeah, ladies first.
Saya mau bertanya tentang bait
18
ya.
I would like to address questions on the verses 18.
Nah, ini kan bicara kalau kondisi kita, atau saya saat ini saya sudah tahu apa yang saya perlu lakukan adalah menerima.
So for me, for example, if I face this condition, I understand that I have to accept.
Nah, bagaimana kalau itu dengan contoh adik saya dan dia seperti tadi kumplin dalam keadaan sakit, apa yang perlu saya lakukan?
So, if that happens to someone else, let's say my siblings, and because he is ill and he's been complaining a lot about it. Mm-hmm. So what can I do?
Yeah.
What can I do to help?
You can try. There's this thing called active listening, where you kind of repeat back to somebody what you hear them saying, and say, you know, like if he's complaining, oh, you feel anxious because you need some security in knowing that there's people to help you. Okay, so you respond to the person's complaint by acknowledging their feeling and acknowledging their need.
Ya, Anda mempraktikkan aktif, mendengarkan secara aktif, Anda mengetahui, mengakui, menerima, artinya kita tidak menolak ketika mereka menceritakan, kita akui bahwa mereka butuh bantuan dan kita mengakui perasaan mereka.
There's also something called nonviolent communication that talks about this.
Ada satu teknik yang disebut komunikasi tanpa kekerasan.
But it's very helpful because sometimes when somebody's complaining, what they really want is somebody to know that somebody understands what they're feeling, and to know that somebody understands that they have some emotional need at that moment.
Yeah. Saat orang komplain, ya, orang ini sebenarnya butuh tahu ada orang yang memahami keluhan mereka dan tahu bahwa mereka ada kebutuhan emosional.
So by responding in that way, oh, it sounds like you're angry because you need acknowledgement, for example, then the other person feels, oh, someone understands what my situation is.
Ya, kalau Anda merespon dengan cara seperti itu, ya, tanpa Anda marah, orang itu akan mengerti bahwa Anda memahami perasaan dia.
In saying that, we're not promising to fix the external situation for the other person, because that may or may not be possible.
Dan kita juga saat mengucapkannya tidak menjanjikan apapun untuk mengubah kondisi eksternal, karena itu mungkin dan tidak bisa dilakukan.
Okay.
Ya, cukup ya.
Also, by responding in that way, you're not feeling sorry for them. You're just acknowledging what they're feeling and needing.
Dengan cara respon seperti itu, kita tidak mengasihani mereka. Kita hanya mengakui apa yang mereka rasakan. Yes,
ada beberapa
pertanyaan. Tanya kan mengenai topline, kaitannya. So, I have three questions. So, first, I would like to ask about topline.
About what?
Topline. Oh. The meditation and giving.
Waktu meditasi itu kan kalau saya tangkap kan itu kita nafas kan beberapa kayak nafas yang masuk keluar maksudnya saya ingat apakah yang kita meditasikan itu secara nafas konseptual, maksudnya pas kita bayangin aja tapi bukan real nafas kita yang masuk.
So when we do the inhale, is it just conceptual inhaling? I mean, in this way we just imagine that we are inhaling.
Oh, you don't have to always do the taking and giving meditation with your breath. Because at our level, it takes us a while to develop the feeling to want to take on their suffering. And it takes us a while to develop the feeling to give them our happiness.
Tidak harus selalu dalam bernapas, karena butuh waktu ya bagi kita untuk bisa ingin menolong mereka, mengambil penderitaan mereka.
So you don't have to imagine inhaling and exhaling. You can just imagine the suffering coming into you and destroying your self-centered thought. And you can imagine transforming things going out. When you get really good at the meditation, then you can do it with your breath. But for us, it usually takes a while to generate these feelings.
Jadi sebagai pemula kita bisa saja membayangkan kita ambil dukanya lalu menghancurkan pemikiran egois kita, dan karena kita baru mulai sampai nanti kita sudah terbiasa menambah meditasi-nambah yang bagus lalu kita bisa mempraktikkan.
Okay,
just
that.
So
we would like to ask about the previous experience. Probably he has an experience of doing it.
Okay.
Yang apa yang saya ini perhatikan sebelumnya yang komplain ya. Apakah saya tidak tahu apakah password itu saya tidaknya salah ya?
So I attended a teaching on Tomlin. So I practiced it. So probably I was not listening quite well. So I'm afraid my understanding was incorrect.
Cara yang pas itu saya sistemnya sih bukan secara ini ya pikir ya, tapi dengan napas yang real gitu, bisa tarik napas masuk, bayangin sekalian awan hitam itu masuk, tetapi bukan kedua hidung, sebelah hidung.
Okay. So at that time the teaching was use the breath directly, inhale and exhale the same, but it's not the both nostril, but only one of them. Yang sebelah mana
ya? Harusnya gini, awalnya kan gini, awan hitam dari ini masuk sampai ya, masuk kiri. Yes. Itu masuk dalam sama itu, hancur ya. Habis itu kan cahaya keluarnya dari kiri.
Kiri jadi lagi?
Enggak ya, sorry, tadi kan kanan, sorry, tadi kanan. Pas keluarnya kiri, habis itu kebalikan.
Oke. Okay. Itu tadi ya, ya. So the method is like this. So you, instead of inhaling and exhaling with the two nostrils, mm-hmm. so it seems like you breathe in with your right nostril, mm-hmm. you inhale the black smoke and do the same thing, mm-hmm. the same process, and you exhale and imagine taking out on your with your left nostril, mm-hmm. and for the next process you do it the other way around, mm-hmm. exchanging the nostril. Mm-hmm. So that's the practice.
I don't know, maybe some people practice it that way. I don't think there's any problem with that. But I think what's more important when you do the meditation is to really get the experience of I'm willing to take on others' suffering and I really want to give away my happiness. I think that's more important than the technicalities of the nostrils. You know, so some teachers, maybe they teach it like that. I don't see any problem with it.
Yang penting ya, Ekat, ya kita ingin sekali mengambil duka, lalu balik, dan memulihkannya. Soal teknik, tiap guru kan punya teknik yang berbeda-beda. Dan saya tidak melihat itu ada masalah. Tidak masalah tekniknya masing-masing.
Ya, yeah.
I'm just not familiar. Saya ingin disitu cuma napasnya itu kan, apakah ini ikutin napasnya itu ya, ikutin napasnya apa kita menarik awan hitam itu, tapi nafas kita keluar masuk kita cuma coba imagine sih semua itu aja sih.
So this confusion, just imagine it or we really take it seriously like inhaling.
So are you asking, are we really taking on their suffering? Is that what you're asking?
Kita benar-benar ambil tugasnya, bukan
memang visualnya itu juga benar-benar ambil.
It's not. We just visualize we are taking their suffering.
We actually.
You know, we just visualize that yes. we are taking the suffering.
Yeah.
It's not really taking the suffering
okay.
in a real essence.
Then what is he asking? What do we visualize it or really do
yeah,
it? I don't understand that.
Let me ask.
Okay. Yeah. Point. Clarify the question for me, please.
So, yeah. Oh yeah. Tadi sih. Yang satu kan tadi yang saya jelasin itu yang saya ini itu kalau saya ikuti kemarin sebelumnya itu kan kenapa saya jadinya biasanya skip diatur mungkin pelan gitu kan.
Okay, for the previous practice it seems like I arrange my breathing, I control my breathing so it's become slower mm-hmm. from the previous practice.
Cuma pas yang saya ikuti ini, cuma pas itu saya bingungan awalnya kan.
Oh, on this practice at the beginning, I was a bit confused.
Pas itu baru tadi, apakah ini teknisnya secara yang diajar ini secara konseptual itu istilahnya kan, soalnya dan tidak imaging gitu ya, pas ini masuk, tapi kita fokusnya ke napas masuk ini kan. Tapi mana setelah dirilnya kan, pokoknya keluar juga kan nafasnya kan. Cuma konsentrasinya pas nafas masuknya, setiap kali nafas yang masuk kita tarik awan panasnya itu. Habis itu kan ke visualnya, ke dalam, habis itu pas keluarnya ya, karena nafas ada keluar masuk. Tapi setelah ini kita fokusnya pas keluar masuk, keluarnya nafas ini, cahaya putihnya keluar ke ininya, mereka jadi senam gitu kan.
Maksudnya dia itu nafasnya benar-benar masuk untuk visualisasi atau cuma kita visualisasi aja nggak usah
literally
kepala. Kejadiannya gitu.
Nyata atau cuma divisualisasikan?
Iya.
So when we do the breathing, do we actually breathe in and breathe out? Are we visualize we are doing the breathing?
You're actually breathing in and breathing out. Yeah. But like I said, that's not the important part of the meditation.
Yeah, ada napasnya sehubungannya. Tapi itu bukan bagian yang penting dari meditasi.
Because if you are visualizing breathing, how can you visualize at the same time taking on other stuff?
Kalau memvisualisasikan bernapas, bagaimana mungkin juga sambil memvisualisasikan mengambil penderitaan orang lain?
Does that clarify it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I may lose my job.
Saya cuma mau tanya, ini yang dilakukan si transformasi pikiran itu apakah merupakan bagian dari kajian 37 Pak Ekoris?
Yang terakhir ya.
Semua yang terakhir.
So is the 10 verses of my training, the 8 verses, is it part of the 37 practice of Bodhisattva?
They're two separate texts, but they both belong to the category of thought training. So that's why you find some similarities between them.
Ini teksnya berbeda, tapi masih termasuk kelompok melatih pikiran. Oleh sebab itu ada akan terungkap beberapa persamaan dan perbedaan.
Satu lagi, itu yang saya baca dari buku Penerebong yang tentang 37 Aspek Bodhisattva, itu judulnya kenapa Don't Believe Everything You Think.
Oke. She wrote the 37 practice of Bodhisattva, and the title of the book is Don't Believe Everything You Think. So why is the title Don't Believe Everything You Think?
Because a lot of times what we think is false.
Karena seringkali apa yang kita pikirkan itu keliru.
Okay. As we've been seeing, just through going through these thought transformation texts, the verses, our initial reaction to things, our emotional reaction, and our description of the situation to ourselves is very false because it's all self-centered and it's all exaggerated.
Saat kita baca pertama kali, ya, kita ini merasa ini keliru, ini salah. Kenapa? Karena pemikiran kita yang selalu egois, ya, terpusat pada diri kita sendiri.
So when our mind says, "I'm right and they're wrong," instead of believing that, you know, have some doubt. Am I really right? Are they really wrong? And in any case, does it really matter?
Jadi saat kita menganggap mereka keliru, saya benar. Kita lihat benar-benar. Benar nggak? Kalau mereka keliru dan saya benar, dan penting nggak sih menganggap mereka salah dan saya benar itu sungguh-sungguh penting atau tidak?
Or when our mind has a lot of attachment, I want this, I want this, I need it, I have to have it, to stop and say, is that true? Do I really need that so badly?
Saat pikiran bilang, saya mau ini, saya butuh ini, saya menginginkan ini, kita berhenti dan mencek, benar gak sih? Saya benar-benar butuh, benar-benar mau.
Okay. So the last question.
Ya, ini pertanyaan terakhir ya.
I want to
ask about part 12. If somebody took our work, is it good for them? If we just let it be, can it make them become more greedy? So how can we help them?
Okay, so will you say it again?
So actually, when someone take away our possessions,
yeah,
and we just let it go,
uh-huh,
and will it be helpful, or it's just gonna make them more grieved?
So it depends on the situation. Okay, the first thing to do when somebody steals our stuff is to be calm our own mind.
Jadi di bait 12 ini, kalau orang ambil barang kita, bukan yang mereka mati serakah. Tergantung situasi. Jadi pertama kali kalau barang kita dicuri, kita harus bisa menenangkan diri.
After we've calmed our mind, then we can think what is a good way to behave or act in this situation.
Setelah pikiran tenang, baru kita bisa berpikir bagaimana cara kita merespon.
Okay. So let's say it's somebody we know who borrowed something from us but didn't return it, and it's not a big deal for us, we may just decide to let it go and mentally give it to them.
Kalau ada pinjam barang, nggak dipulangin, dan nggak penting, kita lepaskan, dan ya kita putuskan, kita berikan saja kepada dia.
Okay. Or it may be a situation where somebody is cheating us, and we know that they will go on and continue to cheat other people. And so in order to protect other people from being cheated, in order to protect this person from creating so much negative karma by from stealing and lying, then we decide to report them, you know, to the authorities.
Jadi kalau ada ditipu orang, dan dengan tujuannya agar dia tidak menipu orang lain lagi, sehingga menimbulkan karma buruk dan kesulitan bagi orang lain, Anda bisa memutuskannya melapor ke pihak berwajib.
What was the first part of the question?
It's about the verse 3. Oh. By avoiding that object, disturbing emotion,
yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
She heard that, you know, actually, living a monastic life will not really help because they live in a certain situation. Like, it's there, it's safe in the daily life. Bisa berapa bulan kan? Saya tidak tahu.
Because
in monastic life we live in seclusion,
mm-hmm.
Like so we don't really face the reality. So we are not really able to deal with our disturbing emotion.
So I heard that you use a monastic is escaping reality. Well, this is a very common perception. I'm not joking. This is a very common perception.
Orang yang monastik ini lari dari kenyataan.
Okay, so. So that means the Buddha was escaping reality. Yeah, that means the Buddha couldn't really deal with his problems because he lived a secluded life.
Buddha tidak bisa mengatasi masalahnya karena dia hidup memisahkan diri.
Yeah, it's usually the people who say this kind of thing are usually the people who, in their own hearts, are unable to keep the kind of discipline that monastics keep because they want to be involved in all these worldly things. So they say, oh, monastic life is useless, you're escaping, you can't really practice, as a way of validating their decision.
Orang-orang yang mengatakan ini biasanya orang yang tidak bisa hidup dengan cara disiplin monastik. Mereka orang-orang yang sangat ingin terlibat dalam kehidupan dunia ini.
The thing is, wherever you go, your mind comes with you.
Kemanapun kamu pergi, pikiran kamu bersama kamu.
It doesn't matter whether you're in a monastery or in a family. Your ignorance, anger, and attachment are right there with you.
Kemanapun di wihara, di rumah, ya ketidaktahuan, kemarahan, keterikatan itu selalu bersama Anda.
I really wish that when I went to another country, that they insisted that my ignorance, anger, and attachment had a visa, and that I don't get a visa for my affliction, so that when I go to another country, then I am free of them. I would really like that.
Saya pengen banget ya, kalau saya pergi ke luar negeri, nah, emosi negatif saya, keterlibatan saya, kemarahan saya, keterikatan saya, nggak dapat visa. Jadi mereka ditinggal aja, jadi cuma saya yang pergi.
There is no possible way to escape samsara other than developing wisdom.
Tidak mungkin bisa lepas dari samsara kecuali mengembangkan kebijaksanaan.
Yeah, changing your clothes, shaving your head. Yeah.
Mengganti pakaian Anda, mencukur rambut Anda.
Okay. It's the internal work that you do that is the change. And wherever you go, even in a monastery, and she will tell you, and I will tell you, you know, and they will tell you. You get mad at this one, you get jealous of that one, you complain because there's too much work to do in the monastery. It's the same thing. Except in the monastery, everybody is working on themselves. And when these things come up, everybody knows, this is my problem, I've got to practice with it.
Semua tempat sama ya. Di wihara, ada orang kita tidak suka, ada kehidupan pekerjaan bedanya, orang-orang di situ semua bersama-sama berlatih untuk bisa memperbaiki diri.
If all you had to do was go to a monastery to avoid your problems, would you do it? Yeah.
Kalau Anda pelihara, biara hanya untuk menghindari masalah. Kenapa?
No, you go to the monastery to face your problems.
Dan biara untuk menghadapi masalah Anda.
Okay, does that make some sense to you?
Masuk akal ya. Jadi orang-orang yang ngomong ini, orang-orang yang gak bisa jadi biku.
Wait a minute, you've got to translate what I say.
I missed the first few parts of jadi orang-orang yang mengatakan itu orang tidak bisa tahan kehidupan monastik, jadi mereka menarik apa ya, mereka terlibat dengan kesenangan dunia.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's do the dedication. We'll do the long one because it's the end of the retreat.
Kita akan melakukan doa dedikasi yang panjang. Nanti setelah itu saya pikir kayak presentation nanti karena beliau. Oh ya, harus mengambil kita kemarin. Semoga. Berkat kebajikan ini, kita semua segera mencapai kondisi keselamatan dan bersih. Sehingga kita mampu untuk membebaskan semua makhluk dari penderitaan. Semoga pikiran bodhi yang maha berharga, yang belum muncul dan berkembang, semoga yang sudah ada tidak berkurang, melainkan semakin bertambah. Berkat jasa-jasa kebajikan yang aku dan orang lain lakukan di masa lalu, saat ini, dan masa depan. Semoga setiap orang yang hanya melihat, mendengar, mengingat, menyentuh, atau berbicara dengan saya langsung terbebas dari penderitaan dan bahagia selama-lamanya. Dalam setiap kelahiran, semoga saya dan semua makhluk terlahir di keluarga yang baik, memiliki kebijaksanaan dan kewarasan, bebas dari kesombongan dan berdedikasi kepada guru-guru spiritual kami, dan kami senantiasa melaksanakan sila dan berkomitmen kepada guru-guru spiritual kami. Dan untuk apapun kemunculanmu, oh Senyasi, apapun kelompokmu, masa hidupmu, dan dimanapun tanah sucimu, apapun yang telah Maha Suci dan mulia, semoga aku dan semua orang bersamanya. Dengan kekuatan pujian dan harapan kepadamu, semoga semua penyakit, kemiskinan, perang dan pertikaian segera berhenti. Semoga damai yang mulia dan semua berkat bertambah di seluruh dunia dan di seluruh penjuru di mana saya dan yang lain berhidup. Di surga gunung bersalju, Engkau adalah sumber kebaikan dan kebahagiaan. Dan sirkia sosial bersih, semoga Engkau tetap tinggal di dasar-sasar.